Hey, WKRP Cincinnati, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what Wolfman Jack, what are we going to do?
Well, what we're going to do, friends, is this is The Flophouse. It's a podcast normally about bad movies. We watch a bad movie, and then we talk about it. Last week's episode, Hillbilly Elegy, is one such of those episodes, the main episodes, as you would call them. But then on the off weeks, we just mess around, do other things, mostly related movies, sometimes not. But tonight... You know, before I introduce what we're doing, let's introduce ourselves.
Yep. Sounds great.
I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
My name's Elliot Kalin. You might know me as the writer of Maniac of New York, the hit comic from Aftershock Comics. Dan?
Elliot, while Dan was doing his introduction, I was watching you as you were, like, clearly working through your through in your head whether or not Dan was going to fuck it up or not. And he
No, I saw it too.
He stuck that landing.
This is one
the
of
the fucking lack of faith.
One of the things that keeps the thrill alive for me is never knowing whether things are going to go slideways when Dan is saying stuff. So it's it means that the spice never goes out of our recording relationship.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's, you know, that's what's called the wild card theory of romance and podcasting. Okay, so we've introduced ourselves. That's the most important thing. But the second most important thing is to introduce the premise of this Flophouse mini, where we are not talking about a bad movie. What we are doing is I'm returning to the well, one of my most popular bits. Everybody loves it. From the one time we did it before... I'm going to quiz you on some IMDb goofs. And because this is the sequel, I'm calling this Goofs Toofs.
to anyone who's picking up the show for the first time after seeing our Teen Wolf live show that we had recently, thank you very much for watching that show, by the way. We had a great outpouring from the fans, great response. We really appreciate it. It's helping us all out. For anyone who is joining us now as a regular listener, stick around for at least one more episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought up our live show.
What is this lack of faith?
Our live show, I was like so blown away. I was touched by the response. I remember, I mean, Dan texted me right after and said he thought we should have had a bigger turnout. But I was like, no, Dan, the turnout was great.
Dan, he texted something
Dan
to me about like
me.
About those. Let's see if those jackasses understand what we're laying down.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was like, Dan, I think our fans are great.
I texted something that said, "I'm ungrateful," which is weird that I would just text the subtext to you. But
yeah.
What are you, HBO's Game of Thrones TV show?
Trenchant.
I guess.
So this is.
I don't really understand it, but
here's the rules of this bit. So we're going to do a little contest, a little trivia contest.
Goofs, toofs, I'm going to... you called it?
Yeah, I called goofs, it toofs, goofs, toofs.
Okay.
Now, you may be aware that there is a little website, or a big website at this point, known as IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. From almost the dawning of the Internet, this has been the premier site to just, you know, look up that movie. Like, oh, who was in that movie? Those are the people who were in that movie. Those are the people who worked on it. It's a clearing ground for all that sort of credit information, largely. But it has other things. It has a goof section for many of its movies. And IMDb is managed on, you know, sort of a wiki model. Not exactly that, but users do a lot of the information gathering. That's why my friend John Kingman was able to make it look like I was the set dresser for the Bikini Car Wash Company briefly.
It's why why there were many, many years when, according to IMDb, the greatest film of all time was The Shawshank Redemption, a perfectly fine movie I like very much, but that is hardly the pinnacle of cinematic achievement, you know.
The IMDb, part of that also is why I am mislabeled as having a part in a Wiggles movie or video or something.
Something about pirates, right?
And and why in my trivia on my entry, it of course mentions my lifelong friendship with Annie Hathaway, which is has only the most tenuous relationship with reality. That fact.
That is obviously Flophouse fan mischief making.
It also has the wrong birth year for me. Someone shaved a year off of my age. Which thank you very much. It wasn't me, but I appreciate it. You know, youth
very
is
nice.
Everything in this business.
Don't I know it, man? My youthful glow is faded.
My favorite thing about IMDb is how no matter what actor I pick, they are always going to have at least one credited appearance on the TV show Harry's Law. That is the law of Harry.
I mean,
every actor has been on Harry's Law.
A pretty short-lived program, too.
I feel like
that's what's strange about it.
The actors that Stu looks up on IMDb are a self-selected group. I feel like it's
he's mostly looking up Kathy Bates, which is why Harry borrows him.
Yeah. Like, where do I know her from?
So, okay. Well, but the point of what I was saying is that on IMDb, people contribute goofs, little bloopers, if you will, in the movie that just got, you know, did not get edited out. No one caught them along the way. Like a Starbucks cup and the aforementioned Game of Thrones. These are just goofs.
Like someone zipping their fly right on camera in Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. As we talked about during our Teen Wolf live show, I'm sorry to keep referencing it. It will never be seen or heard again. So, for anyone who missed, I apologize. I'm really tantalizing you.
I don't know why you're
The original mythology was that Tantalus, when he was being punished in the afterlife, they would promise him he would get to see our Teen Wolf live show and then go, "Ooh, sorry you missed the window." Ooh.
Yeah. But the point is, so the ideas that the greater viewing public have about what makes a goof are maybe a little broader, more expansive than you might imagine.
Now, Dan, do goofs include bloops?
I think a bloop is more, you know, a flub that is recognized.
Dan, don't throw more terminology at me. Use plain English. Come on.
A goof is a flub.
Come on, Nerdlinger.
Now, a best boy uses his grip to grip onto this flub to gaff.
Are you guys talking about fucking Mank again?
We're talking about Mank.
Stu, don't get me started on Mank. I have a lot to say about it.
Don't yank his Mank crank.
Somebody send me that shirt. Send me a shirt that says, "Don't yank my Mank crank." I promise you, I will take a picture wearing it.
That's our pledge to you.
That's
listeners.
My Yank Mank Crank pledge. It's like something out of a Dr. Seuss book. When he watched Mank, it made him crank. So don't yank his Mank crank.
And you're going to hold up like a copy of today's newspaper so I know it wasn't a forged photo, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you know I didn't take it 100 years in the past. Yeah.
A goof, I think the difference between a goof and a bloop is someone catches the bloop.
Okay.
Along the way.
I see. And so it ends up, hopefully, on a bloop reel at the end. Although every time I watch a serious movie, I'm always disappointed there's no bloops at the end.
Except,
something funny must have happened on the set of The Little Things. Why is there no bloops at the end?
You know, I both want to live in a world with more bloops, and I remember how like being there ends with a bunch of bloopers, and it's so strange after the movie that we've just watched.
Yeah, Peter Sellers was apparently very unhappy about that.
I mean, yeah, he thought it lost him the Oscar, didn't he?
I don't know about that. Maybe. I think he felt that he had constructed this performance and held it for the whole movie, and then Hal Ashby was like, "Hey, check this dude out. It's just Peter Sellers. Don't think it's really that guy."
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, the point is, I'm going to read off one of these crowdsourced goofs, and you gentlemen are going to have to guess what movie the bloop comes from. I will keep score.
Okay.
I'm going to...
Despite the title of the film, here. Godzilla never bumps his shin on anything. Is it Shin Godzilla? No, it's not.
Okay, so this is the first bloop. Toast the Knowing turns the crank of the music box in the wrong direction. What a bloop.
Wait, wouldn't that be a goof and not a bloop?
Yeah, that feels like
a
goof.
Is that the first goof of the night?
Oh, sorry. What a goof. That was a you know what? That was a bloop goof.
I feel like we'll put the goof bloop reel at the end. Yeah, I feel like a bloop would have been if he had gone to crank the music box and it broke off in his hand and then he pooped on himself. Like that's a serious bloop. That's a poop bloop.
The goof troop came in to clarify that was a poop bloop and not a goof.
Yeah, they used the wrong form to classify it, so everyone had to go to Brazil jail.
Here's a goof. The goof is, Toast the Knowing turns the crank of the music box in the wrong direction. Oh, that goofy goof. What movie is this? I'm going to try and even things out. I'm going to call on one of you first, and I'm going to switch it up each round. So, in this first round, Elliot, do you have a guess for what this goof is from?
It sounds really familiar, and I'm sure that I will be like, oh, right, when I hear it. But all I can think of is Toad the Wet Sprocket, and that makes me think about the original Monty Python bit that the name Toad the Wet Sprocket came from, featuring Ambidextrous Rex. And that's not it. It can't be. It's because there's no music box in that bit. So, I don't know. Is it Freak the Mighty?
Well, we'll find out soon enough. Stuart, what is your guess for this?
Well, you mentioned a monkey. Wait, you mentioned a music box. So I got ahead of myself. So is it Monkey Shines, the movie with the monkey with a... Wait, that doesn't have a music box. It just plays like a little drum. I fucked it up.
I mean, Monkey Shine, I don't think he does play a little drum, does he?
Does he play a music box? Did I get it right?
Yeah, I think so, right? Is it Monkey Shine's Experiment Terror?
All right, there is a monkey that plays the cymbals on the cover of the VHS for Monkey Shine.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the movie or not.
I don't think it's in the movie, but there is that...
That is a Clockwork Monkey. It is not the actual killer monkey.
I mean, we all remember a Clockwork Monkey, Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of Anthony Burgess's novel. Yeah. I think you might be thinking of, there was an old TV movie about an evil wind-up cymbal monkey, and that was later repurposed as the second half of Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonders, which was a Mystery Science Theater episode. So, Dan...
That was what I was thinking of, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Last Year at Marion Bed.
The correct answer to this is, of course, Fury Road, Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
Right.
Oh, that goofster, Toast the Knowing.
Which character was Toast the Knowing?
I don't know. let's look at the scores. We've got 0-0. Moving on.
I feel like I should have known that one because I love that movie, but on the other hand, a lot of those characters, their names are not said in the movie. So it's you kind of have to know. You have to kind of read some of the back matter, you know.
Wait for the end of credits where everyone gets their name.
Yeah.
Okay. Goof the second. When we see Jack in his final state of undead in the porno theater, he uses a lot of words that are formed with the lips, such as schmuck. However, Jack is virtually skeletal and has no lips to form the words. That is a hell of a goof, guys.
Yeah, so, Dan, I believe I know this one, but if Stuart wants to go...
I'm going to jump in there. We're talking about a Jack that's almost a skeleton. This is obviously Nightmare Before Christmas, baby.
Yep, you remember seeing the scene where he goes to a porno theater. Yep.
Yeah, right?
No, yeah,
and Oogie Boogie's like, you better clean that up, dude. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think it's... I believe you're talking about an American Werewolf in London, Daniel.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I love that the goof is not a corpse is talking. A skeleton is talking, which is not a thing skeletons do. It is that the skeleton can't form those particular phonemes without lips.
Well, I mean, without lips. I'm sorry, Stuart, you sacrificed your vote to comedy. Elliot.
Yeah, I didn't love the joke. It turns out I like people knowing that I know things more than people laughing at my jokes, especially after I missed that Fury Road one.
So, okay.
I'm wondering, though, about the Nightmare Before Christmas stop motion porn parody that never got made but probably should have been made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Goof the Third.
Mm-hmm.
Helen believes she's alone on the plane, yet she changes into her uniform in the undoubtedly cramped lavatory. Why wouldn't she just change in the cabin? What a goof! Elliot. Helen believes she's alone on the plane, yet she changes into her uniform in the undoubtedly cramped lavatory. Why not the cabin?
I mean, if it's the movie that I think it is, then that's Helen Hunt doing the plane sequence in Hunt Stunts, the direct-to-video, sold only through late-night cable commercials video where Helen Hunt pulls off the trickiest, the ickiest, and craziest stunts this side of Hollywood. And in that one, she was pretending to be a flight attendant, and then she changes into the uniform, and she has to, and she, like, lands the plane basically on the top of a construction site crane, and then the whole thing explodes, and she has to tumble out down the side of the crane to get out, and then she's like, ugh, next time I'm taking the train. Is it that one? Is it Hunt Stunts?
Well, we'll find out.
Well, Elliot already took Hunt Stunts, so I can't say that one.
No, I mean, you could say the Hunt Stunts too, which was Linda Hunt doing a series of stunts.
I mean, that's crazy that they say that for the sequel, but I guess you got to go bigger, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously we're talking about a plane here, and the only movie I can think of that has a plane in it, I think this is a fact, is Con Air starring Nicolas Cage. Is it Con Air starring Nicolas Cage?
Well, I'm afraid that neither of you got this one. The answer is The Incredibles.
Oh!
I assume that Anthony Lane contributed this goof. He's like, why doesn't Helen change out in front of all of us? I think the audience would like to see that.
Is that that dude who, like, jacked off about Mrs. Incredible in his fucking review in the newspaper?
Yeah, the New Yorker review.
Wow.
He was totally horny for Helen Parr, which, look, understandable, but maybe not in your review of this children's movie.
To be fair,
The New Yorker.
One,
is that like the
like...
most horny on Maine you can be? Is to do it in the newspaper?
I think I'm going to, in defense of Anthony Lane, one, it's not like children were going to read the review in The New Yorker of Incredibles 2. You might as well.
Yeah.
And two.
Yeah, you might as well. You might as well talk about your infatuation with large bottoms.
And two, if you're familiar with Anthony Lane, he. It is so hard for him to stay on topic about any movie that he is writing about. He's like, Avengers Infinity War. Well, whatever happened to His Girl Friday? Let me talk about that. And it's like, dude, I love His Girl Friday too. But like, they're not, not every movie is an excuse to talk about how much you love Rosalind Russell. So
that guy does not care for movies. I don't
he doesn't
think.
Seem
I think
to like
just...
movies as opposed to the other New Yorker film critic, Richard Brody, who merely likes movies that everybody else doesn't like.
Oh, like Armin White?
He's a little bit like Armin. He's not quite as intense that way as Armin White, a little bit. Richard Brody, his personal crusade seems to be making sure everyone knows that Ishtar is a work of pure genius and a hilarious movie to boot, and that the Star Wars movies are soulless.
I think we disproved that, right, when we watched it for this podcast?
Scientifically.
A mystifying take, as far as I'm concerned, but God love you if you enjoyed it. You know, have fun.
If you like, Elaine May is undoubtedly incredibly talented and a skilled filmmaker in other films, so... You know, not fair what happened to her as a result of Ishtar, but at the same time, Ishtar is not very good. I'm sorry, Richard Brody, but I had to say it. And Anthony Lane, hey, just keep on flying that freak flag. Maybe someday you'll get to bury it in Mrs. Incredible.
So, speaking of... Jesus Christ. Speaking of
it's
Anthony
okay, Dan.
Lane,
kids don't listen to this. It's okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
I hope
okay,
not.
Speaking of Anthony Lane, here's another horny
goof. Because they'll make fun of me, and I'm very intimidated by kids.
So here's goof number four. When Ava has to put on clothes / skin, her breasts become notably smaller. So someone needed to let us know about this goof. Are we to believe that putting on clothes / skin makes one's breasts smaller, unnamed film? What a goof. Okay, so I guess, who did I go to first last time? I can't even remember.
I think I went first last time.
Yeah, okay, so Stuart, do you have an idea about what film?
Trying to think about putting on clothes / skin. Feels
that
like
seems
that's,
to be the giveaway. I don't
feels
know.
Like a
off
layup.
The top of my head.
I don't want to biff this one because I keep biffing them. But man, I'm kind of stumped. I mean, it's not Hellraiser 2. It's not Hellraiser 1. But it sounds like something you would see in a Hellraiser.
He does need to collect skin in that first Hellraiser.
Uh-huh, because he's in hell. Help him.
Yeah, for his big skin ball.
Now, Stu, I think you would want to biff this one. That's where you get the answers in the goof almanac, and you go back in time, and now you can make bets on the goofs, and you're running the world pretty soon.
Yeah, it was written by accredited journalist Dan McCoy, right?
There was a
noted sports fan.
Something that was starting to get to me was, I don't know if you guys were seeing as many comparisons between Trump and Biff in Back to the Future 2, where they're like, this is Biff world. And it was like, and they're like, how prescient? And it's like, it's only because Trump is every villain that's ever been in every movie. Like, he embodies all the characteristics of every villain from every movie. So, like, of course, it's reminiscent of those things. But anyway, not to insult any of the fascist listeners that we have. We appreciate your listening. So, Dan, Ava, when she puts on clothes, her boobs get smaller. Stuart, it's not a Hellraiser movie, I guess. So what are you going to guess?
Yeah, I don't know now. Wally. That's the name of that robot. Her name's Ava, right?
Yeah, Ava, yeah. Yeah. And Dan, I'm going to guess it's Honey, I Shrunk.
Putting skin on.
I'm going to guess it's Honey, I Shrunk the Boobs.
Yeah. No, does she drape skin on her robot shell like a Necron flayed one from the Warhammer 40,000 universe?
No, this the second and a final of the horny goofs, I would call them, is Ex Machina. Ex Machina.
Right.
Okay.
So this is I'll call this halftime. we have to do an advertisement, but Elliot is currently ahead 1-0.
Not by much. Okay. This is not my day, and you know what, Stu? I think you can take
any
this
given
game.
Sunday. You know.
Yep. I mean, technically, we're recording this on a Tuesday, but yeah, sure.
Sure.
I'm Judge John Hodgman,
and I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne.
10 years ago, I came on Jordan Jesse Go and judged my first dispute. Is chili a soup? It's a stew, obviously.
The judge has dispensed a decade of justice. He's the one person wise enough to answer the really important questions. Like, should you hire a mime to perform at your own funeral?
After they cry, I want them to laugh.
Do you really need a tank full of jellyfish in your den?
They smell like living creatures decaying.
Only if they are decaying.
Yeah, which they will be.
Real people, real justice, real comedy.
Winner of the Webby Award for Best Comedy Podcast.
The Judge John Hodgman Podcast, every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
Hey, it's Jesse. What you're about to hear is real.
Hey, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. It's Jesse calling from Maximum Fun.
Hey, Jesse.
I heard that you got into a car accident.
Yeah, I was listening to Stop Podcasting Yourself, and I just laughed so hard that I slammed into a construction barrier.
Do you remember what it was that was so funny?
I will never forget, I'm sure. They started talking about Vegas and the, you know, if it happens here, it stays here, and that slogan. And Graham was talking about, oh, you know, wasn't there some other slogan for another commercial?
Oh, it was like a commercial for food, and it said, like, whatever's in there stays in there. I can't remember what it was, clams or something.
Clam?
Just so ridiculous. And man, I got lightheaded. I was laughing so hard. Next thing I know, smash. So, yeah. They are just brilliantly funny.
So I talked to Dave and Graham from Stop Podcasting Yourself. We would like to pay your car repair bill. Is that okay?
That would be super nice, Jesse. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, the Fluffhouse...
Dan, wait, do we have any goofs from any given Sunday? Because I feel like Stuart should be disqualified from answering those.
The goof of it is like, this does not take place on any given Sunday. This takes place over the course of several specific Sundays.
In reality...
Having recently rewatched Any Given Sunday, for one, I think the sports teams have the craziest names out of any movie I've ever seen. And also, I think when it comes to pop songs that I wish existed in the real world, the Willie Beeman song is tied with Scotty Doesn't Know from Eurotrip as my favorite pop songs.
I would say the goof for Any Given Sunday is, a football team cannot win on any given Sunday, merely on those Sundays for which football games are scheduled. And Dan, what is the advertisement?
You're right. Oh, God, I hate it. I hate it, but you're right, you know. Gotta respect it when you're right.
Well, the Flophouse is sponsored in part by ExpressVPN. Did you know that there are thousands of shows on Netflix that might not be available to you now based on your location? Make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN. Using ExpressVPN, you can control which country you want Netflix to think you're in. You can watch, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Canada Netflix, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Australia Netflix, Blackadder on UK Netflix. It's not on US Netflix, but with just one tap of a button, ExpressVPN lets you change your location to whatever country you like to watch it. ExpressVPN is also super fast, works on your phone, laptop, even smart TVs, so you can watch your shows on the big screen with zero buffering. So stop paying full price. What? Who? What?
I see Elliot over there contemplating what the difference is between Fresh Prince in Australia is. I think it's because it takes place in Sydney. Bel Air is a suburb of Sydney.
Now let's just clarify for a moment. This is not an Australian version of Fresh Prince.
No, but I'd love the idea if they dubbed it in Australian.
Starring Yahoo Serious. This is the Fresh Prince we all grew up with, starring one William Smith. And it just may not be available on Netflix in the U.S. due to rights issues, but you can get it on Netflix Australia.
Oh,
Dan,
I'm going to tell you
a little horror story that might terrify our listeners.
Okay.
Years ago, I was in a little country called England, the United Kingdom. I was in the city of London.
Okay.
I was doing the dishes, and I looked up Netflix on my iPad, or maybe it was my laptop even, because back then I think I didn't have an iPad. What was available on Netflix but the movie Miracle Mile? I've heard so much about that movie for years. I've always wanted to see it. I started watching it, didn't get to finish it before the trip was over. No worries, I said, when I get home, I will finish watching the movie on Netflix at home. But Dan, when I looked at Netflix in America, was Miracle Mile available? It was not, Dan. It was not. And to this day, I have still never seen the second half of Miracle Mile. Don't be like me. Don't be like me, listeners. Learn from my mistakes. ExpressVPN. Mm-hmm. And no spoilers.
What happens?
Don't tell me what happens in the end of Miracle Mile.
So, if this interests you, stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/flop. Don't forget to use our link so you can get 3 extra months free. That's ExpressVPN.com/flop. ExpressVPN.com/flop to learn more. But now, guys, let's return to this game. Now,
yeah, it's close.
If you'll recall from before the break, it is very close. Elliot has 1, Stuart has 0.
Okay.
You can turn this around, Stu, or perhaps I'll open up an even more insurmountable lead.
I certainly can't get worse, right? I can't lose points, right?
I don't know. Dan's the crazy games master who has his own mixed up Alice in Wonderland rules.
A real arcade fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open this one to you first because you're behind.
Yep.
Here's a goof. Oh, man. A caption.
I like Dan ahead of time salivating over just like savoring this goof.
Love a good goof. A caption reads Thursday, and then shortly afterwards we see Wendy and Danny watching the Roadrunner show with its distinctive theme song in the late 70s. That show played only on Saturday mornings. Oof, what a goof. Stuart, what movie?
Wendy and Danny in the 70s. It's got to be Forrest Gump, baby.
Oh, God. I see Stuart's game, and I appreciate it. I appreciate that he realizes that the competition is less important than the fun and the friends we make along the way.
Yeah, right?
So is that your answer, Stuart?
Yeah.
Okay. Elliot, what do you got?
Show me Zodiac.
Oh, okay. Well,
similarly fun movies.
Apparently, we're both throwing the competition. the answer, of course, is
examples of directors working at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is The Shining. Wendy and Danny are watching the Roadrunner show.
Right. Right.
Okay.
That's that movie about how they faked the moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got 2 more goofs, guys. Two more. These are the primo ones.
Oh, right. Man. Yeah, yeah. We've been edging this whole time.
When Nick is playing the board game, Game of Life with Margot, he lands on the marriage block and adds the wife peg to his car. He then hands off to Margot for her turn, neglecting that in the rules for the game, one makes another honeymoon spin immediately after getting married. Guys, can you believe that this goof made it
so stupid
on screen?
How did that get into the final cut? I it hope is. Someone got fired for that. I don't really. Yeah. I don't.
Guys, I was watching, my wife and I started rewatching The Sopranos, and in like the first episode, there's this great scene where Anthony Jr. is playing Mario Kart, and Tony comes in and sits down next to him and starts playing Mario Kart with one hand, and I'm like, dude, you can't do that. What the fuck?
Well, what you can't see is his character is just slamming into a wall over and over again. Now, if I may, before we reveal our answers, I will say the Game of Life and I have a tumultuous history. I loved it as a kid, and it was recently a favorite of my older son, and we had to ban it in the house because it was giving him too strong an idea that the point of life is money and that you should be able to, like, trade in family members for money. It was, yeah. He was getting a little too money-focused, so we had to take the Game of Life out of his hands.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's like shorthand for murdering someone, right?
Oh, yeah, they were his cold
dead
hands.
Took the Game of Life out of your hands.
Allie, you were up first for this one. Do you need any refreshers? Do you understand?
So Nick and Margot? Mm-hmm. This is really teaching me that I do not remember the names of characters from movies as well as I thought I did. So they're playing the Game of Life. So it's not a period picture. It's not like Pride and Prejudice, you know, or Sense and Sensibility, or Emma, or Northanger Abbey. But I know it's a Jane Austen movie. So Clueless?
Okay. And Stuart, what do you have to say?
This is an actual guess. Most of the, you know, guys, I've been fucking around a lot tonight, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't really been playing the game. I've been kind of stunting on y'all, but I'm going to actually guess, is it the Royal Tenenbaums?
Ooh, there is a Margot in that.
Fuck. Wait, Dan, can I change my answer?
I was honest
answer?
For a fucking chance. I removed all the irony.
You know
that was
what?
Your mistake, Stu. That was your mistake. That was your mistake. Shouldn't have done that.
I'll give you a chance, Elliot. What do you have? One more guess.
Show me Zodiac.
No. This is from the movie Gone Girl, written by our friend Gillian Flynn. Sorry, Gillian, you done goofed.
You goofed it.
Look up the rules.
More like
to the Game of Life.
Gillian, more like Goofian.
Oh man, how embarrassing! I'm sorry to call you out publicly like this. But
this is like the scene in the Philadelphia Story when Katharine Hepburn declares she's won a game of Connect Four after only connecting three.
All right. So, Stuart, I'm afraid you cannot win at this point. You can only tie.
That's fine.
But.
Although I think you're giving me too much credit.
Well, it's possible that the last one is a joke one that is easy to get. So, I'm going to open this one up for Stuart first, and then if he gets it, you know what? We're just ending in a tie, and everyone wins the joy of friendship.
So cool your jets, Elliot. I know you're getting all excited in your chair over there.
I'm getting ready to yell, "Show me Zodiac again, Dan." So you're saying if we don't tie, we don't get friendship? Like that's the end of our friendship, and I can never talk to Stuart again?
The moral.
It's the stakes. They're high, but I like it.
Yeah. All right.
So then, guys, I think I'm developing a gambling addiction because of this episode.
Somehow Dan walks away owning the bar tomorrow. He's like, I wasn't even playing.
And like three of my fingers.
Everyone's jonesing for goofs.
Yeah, the next game Dan wants to play is lighting his lighter with one hand.
Yeah. Oh, what a great story that is. Okay. Here we go. Last question. Here's the goof.
Wait. I want that to be your new catchphrase or someone to make a soundboard, because the way you said
Here's
it just now
goof.
Was so full of like bravado and gruff confidence. Here's the goof.
Yeah.
Here it is, guys.
Yeah, it's Dan's love language.
Here's the goof.
Audrey's like, Dan, I found a new goof for you. And he's like, oh, baby. And his fucking flip takes out of the panel.
Yeah. It's celebrating their anniversary. And he's like, show me the goof.
All right, well, here's a goof for you.
I got you a box of brand new goofs.
A new spring goof.
So you can print it out and cut out of paper.
It's like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm in a bad mood. I lost an eBay auction for a vintage goof. I'd been looking, I had my eye on this one for a while. The bidding got real high. I was up till 3:30 in the morning trying to snipe this goof.
Okay, here we go. All right, last one. Obviously, a driver's ed instructor would never allow or order a student driver to give someone the bird.
Guys, I just watched this the other day, so I know it. It's so obvious. It's Disney's Onward or Pixar's Onward.
Shut up. Do you know, Stu? Do you know which one this one is?
What, summer school?
No. Okay, Allie, do you have it?
I can see the scene, and I'm having trouble remembering exactly what it's. Oh, wait.
More like Police Academy? What are we talking about?
Obviously, a driver's ed instructor would never allow or order a student driver to give someone the bird.
Got Dan? Dan, it's just not coming to me, so I gotta say it. I apologize. Show me Zodiac.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the Naked Gun from the Files of Police.
The Naked Gun. That's
what
right.
A goof.
That's right.
That
the naked
literal
gun.
Goof was.
When they Man,
were,
I feel
when
like
they
this...
were writing that goof, they didn't consider the fact that it was too goofy.
In real life, gripping the penis of a statue carved into the side of a building would not give it pleasure and change its face to a smile.
In real life, a marble penis would not bend in that way.
In real life, applying a sanding machine to the birthmark on the buttock of a famous, what is he, a scientist? I don't remember. Would create, at best, mild abrasion, and at worst, a serious injury. Not no effect, as it has in this.
So
in real life, here's the goof. In real life, a detective with Frank Drebin's record would have been fired from the police force years ago.
That was essentially one of the last ones. It was like obviously this movie is a satire of crazy, like, overconfident cops. But in real life, someone would have known that Nordberg was undercover. And it's like, okay, great. You understand that it's a comedy, but you somehow can't take
in
the next step.
In real life, Ayatollah Khomeini would not have had a mohawk under his turban. Now, you're right. I totally should have known that there was Naked Gun. I couldn't remember which of the Zucker-type movies it was.
You know what, Elliot, it doesn't matter. You still won in a blowout of 1-0. So
I'm toast. So yeah. I guess we're not friends anymore, Elliot.
I mean, to be honest, if I'd known those were the rules of the game before I started playing, I might not have played. But the game is the game, you know, and I can't hate the player. Why would I? He was my friend until a minute ago when he lost. Instead, I'll hate the game.
It's all about the journey, the in-game experience, as opposed to the end results. Like, it's fine, you know?
Exactly. I guess this is a real gamer gate situation in that we were the gamers, now there's a gate between us, and we can no longer hang out again. Yeah.
And every time I see graffiti hastily scrawled across the walls of New York City that say, "Show me Zodiac, I'll think of you."
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that will be my tag from now on. I took my family out on a trip somewhere where there the other day where there was a lot of graffiti on a wall, and Sammy was like, "Why do they have that there?" And I'm like, "Oh, those are the tags that the graffiti people put, and each person has their own tag." And he goes, "We don't have a tag." So I was like, "Should we have one? Like, should our family have one?"
You got to think about branding.
Yeah. I guess now it's Show Me Zodiac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone,
think about branding, Brandon.
We need to talk about branding, Kevin.
I mean, that probably would have put him in line, you know?
Yeah.
the idea that the principal's like, we need to talk about Kevin. His branding is poor. He has very little market penetration, very little
brand
recognition.
Bow and arrow based.
I feel like he's not creating Graham opportunities for himself to get his ideas out there.
Sure.
There's a lot of buzz around him, but it's mostly from his mom about how she doesn't really like him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to just say, we need to talk about Kevin. I want people to say, we need to do everything about Kevin. We need to make Kevin part of every aspect of our lives. We want to live that Kevin lifestyle. Yeah.
A wonderful, harrowing movie.
What if there's, some guy who's like, someone's like, what Kevin did? Oh, that was terrible. And he goes, yeah, but we're talking about him.
Yeah. And he looks at the camera and he freezes, and you think about, the modern culture and the way society has, what society's done to us as it irises in on his eye.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole time I'm thinking, that kid is made out of the soup of John C. Reilly and Tilda Swinton. Amazing.
Soup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Give me a cup of that. Okay, well, I think my enjoyment at inflicting this on you guys is palpable, so I appreciate you playing along. Thanks to all who were playing along at home, yelling at your
I'm sure a lot of people knew the answers before we did. Those were some hard goofs for me, but I'm sure that the audience at home was like, what?
What?
How come I that Margot was in that movie?
I did pump up the difficulty because last time was to sort of tantalize you, and this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and build up our confidence too much. Make us feel like we could take on the entire world of goofs.
Yeah, exactly. and yet, our wings, we flew too close to the goof sun, and our goof wings have melted. We've fallen into the goof ocean.
A bunch of goofy goobers. Well,
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
Someone
is trying to wreck
listening.
Friendships.
Thank you to everyone. Thank you to Maximum Fun, our network. Go to MaximumFun.org to check out other Max Fun podcasts. I know that Elliot has a comic book on sale now. I'm sure he would like to say a little bit about
Maniac in New York, number one. Actually, when this episode comes out, might be a little hard to find. It's been selling really well, but it was just announced today it will be going back for a second printing, which should be available around the time of the second issue. Maniac of New York, number one. If you can find it, it's great. It's Jason Takes Manhattan meets The Wire. What if instead of The Wire being about drugs in Baltimore, it was about a masked killer terrorizing New York? And the art is beautiful. It's by Andre Udy.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And comes from Aftershock Comics. And it is, if you can find it, a fun read. And issue two comes out March 8th, I believe. So if you miss issue one, pick up issue two, and you'll hopefully be able to catch up with the story.
And if you miss the physical copy, you can find it digitally on Comixology.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's just available on Comixology.
I did. Yeah, it's great. I'd recommend it.
And Stuart, how's your stuff? What's going on?
Well, Stuart Wellington has been recently half vaccinated, baby. Uh-oh, I got some of that good Dolly Parton juice in my arm. That's right, Moderna vaccine. I got the first shot, second shot scheduled. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but podcasters are essential workers in these times.
No, that's not why.
No.
Before they get mad.
I'm a bar and restaurant worker, and in New York, they made it available for us to get the vaccine, and I think it's the responsible thing to do for everyone who can get the vaccine to try and get it. So I got lucky and my wife put a bunch of work into the vaccine portal, which is not easy, and we were able to schedule a vaccine appointment for me. So I took it. Since I'd previously had COVID, I had a kind of a rough time with it. The first day was pretty difficult. I was pretty fatigued, but I'm feeling better now, obviously, based on my performance on tonight's game. And
Stuart, would you say the takeaway from this episode is Stuart Wellington stronger than ever before?
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, right before we started, I was doing squats and push-ups. I'm getting pumped. I'm ready to tie like a bandana around my forehead so I can battle some enemies.
Mm-hmm. You can't see. But Stuart right now is bending a paperclip into a bow so that he can fight off some gremlins in the clamp building.
I just remember that
not
about
the lady
10
gremlin.
Ago,
no, not the lady gremlin. She's going to find love with Robert Picardo. She's the good gremlin.
I don't want to stop that.
No.
Yeah. No, I just remembered that we were trying to end this. So,
by the way, I think the Lady Gremlin and Robert Picardo in Inner Space are basically the same character. I need to examine this a little bit more, but I think they're very similar.
I think you have a master's thesis. Let's get to work on it.
Yeah, I think that's the presentation for the next live
show.
Dan,
did you have anything to promote? Do you want to tell people about your John Stewart packet that I'm sure you were writing up for his new show?
I was texting Elliot. I'm like, why is John Stewart packet like a thing that's trending? This is like, we both agreed it was such like an inside baseball thing on Twitter. So this that'll mark when this episode came out. If you are on Twitter and you vaguely saw people talking about the John Stewart packet,
when I saw it, I'm like, is that the name of the next digital underground album?
No, I got nothing to plug. I'm just here. You know, I got a new kitten. It's pretty cute.
We're all enamored of the new kitten.
But anyway, so if you liked this, maybe listen to a normal episode if you haven't heard one. And if you are a regular listener, please keep listening and rate, review, subscribe, all the stuff that helps a podcast grow. A young, healthy podcast with growing bones. That's what kids have, right?
They do have growing bones. That's true.
They grow and split their skin just like sort of.
No.
Okay.
No, the skin grows with the bones. Unless they're marrow of the X-Men, but that's one case in particular, you know.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin saying, if you can do something nice for somebody today, please do so.
Zodiac.
Oh, I should have said that. Damn. Forget the thing I said about doing nice stuff. Pretend I said, show me Zodiac.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.